sixth chapter. This word that you've heard in your hearing. The Bible declared that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this have touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am. Send me. Based on those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. What we need is more direct encounters with God. What we need is more direct encounters with God. I don't know about you, but every time God allows you not only to come into this house, but when God allows you to come in and out of your house, and you find everything yet still in place, and you have a bed that you can lay your head on, and you got a roof over your head, and you got food in the cupboard, that is something to give your God praises about. Even though you might not be where you used to be, and for most of us, thank God, we are not where we used to be. Time has a tendency of changing our mindset. It'll change our walk. It'll change the way that we think. And we need to be aware that God has blessed us in the midst of all that we've ever gone through in life. God has kept his promise. God said that I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. God knows that there are times when you have not dotted every I, you have not crossed every T. There are times when you have looked in the mirror and you felt ashamed of where you've been in life. Even in those times, you may have even allowed a tear or two to fall, but God reminded you that I'll wipe the tears from your very eyes. God reminds us this morning that I am your Savior, I am your God, and I will do what needs to be done in your life. So here we are at the Fowles Chapel Missionary Baptist Church again on this last official Sunday of Black History Month. A few more days left in the month. But let us be reminded that every day of our lives, somebody black is doing something good. It may never reach the history books. We may never know or hear of it, but our God who sits high and looks down low, he knows all about it. Then we have to understand this morning that it's not always the big things. But when God bless you to do a little thing, all the way down to just a simple smile on your face, that can lift up a soul, a brother or a sister that is going through it and don't think that they have anything to smile about. But out of all that you're going through, you are yet still able to possess a smile on your face. I heard someone say that when you smile, the world smiles with you. It's good to be able to inspire somebody. And when you inspire somebody, that don't mean that you're all of that. Anybody can smile. We were born, and when we look at our brand new gifts that come from God, that is the one thing that we do. We make little silly faces, and we do make all these little crazy sounds trying to get that infant to smile. Then there are times where we look at that baby, and especially the real small newborns, and they're laying there, they're fast asleep, but all of a sudden a smile comes across their face. And we ponder and we wonder, what in the world is this baby smiling about? And you know, we have those old folks, those old myths and tales, and somebody told us along the way the angels are playing. We don't know whether that's the truth or not, but it sounded good. I'd much rather have an angel dancing around in my baby's head than to have the devil poking and prying on my baby. Am I talking to anybody in here? We got to know that there's something to smile about. Even a baby, if a baby can smile, then some of us got to get up off of sucking them lemons. You're not the only one that got a burden. You're not the only one that got a problem. You're not the only one that's trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet. So don't take your confusion, don't take that trial that you're going through out on your neighbor just because you're having a bad day. You ever seen folk that just because they feel bad or they got something going on, they feel like everybody, like you know everything that's going on in their mind. Sometimes folk ain't trying to be funny. There are some folk that you think that are stuffy and some folk that you think are too bougie for you. You ought to get a little bougie yourself when you think about where God has brought us from. God has blessed you to have all that beautiful china in the cabinet, and you just look at it. Every now and again, you ought to pull one of them pretty glasses out and wash it up and put some ice in it and drink some tea out of it and sit there like you are somebody. Know that there's many of us in here. We watch that picture, the haves and the have nots. Don't get caught up in them. I just want to use that thought, have and have not. Have not. That's entertainment. That's something to keep drawing you back to see how we act. Find yourself talking to the television. A lot of you got more enemies on the television than you got walking around that you see in your face. Especially some of you soap opera watchers. I just don't like her. Don't even know her. God has blessed us, and we all could say that we are part of that a population that have and those that have not. There's some things that you got, there's some things that you want, there's some things that you're never going to get. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the thing that you don't have, undoubtedly you don't need it because you hadn't died yet without it? We come from a strong heritage of determined people that have paved the way for us, enduring blood, sweat, and many tears. So many that gave their lives for better days ahead. Years ago, when one of the most popular sayings was, "I'm black and I'm proud." And even some of them suffered persecution for making a stand and making that statement. We as a people this morning ought to still be able to hold on to that thought. I am black and I am proud. I may not have what the Joneses have, but yet I'm black and I'm proud. Does not matter whether you're light skin, brown skin, copper tone, or jet black. Black is black. You cannot change the color of your skin. Got folk going to tanning beds and sitting out in the sun and getting all this color on them, and all of a sudden, in a few days, that color come right back off. But this, what God has given us, is here to stay. And you ought to know that you are somebody. You ought to know that you are a child of a mighty King. You ought to begin to think about those people that bled and died so that you would have some of the rights that you have right now. I believe this morning that we as a people should be proud and thankful that we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, we don't look like what we've been through. When we talk about black history and, you know, we go back and we watch the pictures and we see how our people were treated before us. We deal with the fact that those that came from slavery and all of the injustices of being treated less than human beings. We are sustained and slowly overcome the heartaches and the trials of life. But if you are able to remember, if you are able to sort of connect with our ancestors and our heritage and begin to think about they brought our brothers and our sisters over here, they sold them on the corners and they took their children away, they separated the husband and the wife. They told us what to do. Now we have that mindset because of how far we've come. Don't nobody tell me what to do. Am I talking to anybody in here? The reason why? Because God has brought us a mighty long way. Because if we had lived back in those times, Master would have told you what to do, and you better do what Master say do. We have come a long way, but sadly enough, racism, double standards are still alive and well. Don't fool yourself just because we can go in and sit down and eat with them. There's still some of them sitting over at the other table looking at you out of the corners of their eye. See you when you walk through the door, and sometimes, you know, that's why sometimes when you go and shop in some places, if you're in a high dollar store and you black and you go in there, they gonna watch you. Even today, like you come to steal something. Now, we got some black folk, not me. They got enough plastic that they can go anywhere they want to go, buy anything that they want to buy. And sometimes they lose sales because of the way that they treat our people. Anybody glad we don't have to take that mess anymore? I believe I'm talking to some folk that have been into some department stores that have realized that now you got your eyes on me and you got somebody walking behind me and you were not back in the old day. I say, hold up, get from behind me. May not be able to buy everything, but I got enough to buy something out of here. So don't think that we've overcome just because we've come a mighty long way. Our history is still being recorded as I speak right now. We were blessed to see and to have a black man as president of the United States. Barack Obama served us well and made a difference in our nation. Turned some things around, and now that that office has been taken a 360-degree turn for the worse. Barack served his time and he did a wonderful job, but he cannot, and nobody other than God can put us in the place where we need to be. He was just a man. He took care and taking care of his family, and he's out of office, would never be in office. And if they have their way, you won't see that happening again. Be many, many years on down the road, and somebody may be still around if the Lord don't come back to say, now we got our second black president. But don't bank on you seeing him being inaugurated. We've come a mighty long way. We still have a lot to be proud of. But let us remember whom we belong to. See, I realize that it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I still know who controls my house. There is a higher power. And that higher power is sitting there on the throne every day of our lives. Don't you allow that mess in the White House to break you down from being the man or the woman that you can be. Don't give up on your hopes or your dreams. Don't begin to think that your children still can't excel and make it on this side. All you got to do is trust the power of a loving God. Keep on boosting them. Keep on pushing them and let them know that it is still the same as it used to be. The black man got to work a little bit harder than the white man. If you uncover the finances, you got two men sitting at a desk and both of them doing the same job. But if you went down to HR and look in the books, that white man is getting a whole lot more than what you get. They don't get it that way, then they'll take more taxes out on you. They got a way to keep you in your place. We talk about black history. We talk about who we are as a people. We got to come with the grips of the matter that we are somebody despite what side of the track we were born on. I'm glad to know this morning that because of God, there is a better day coming. Come to tell you this morning, don't lose your hope. Stand on the word of God. I see here where David clearly tells us in the 37th division of Psalms, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity. Now the Bible says we ought to love our enemy. We ought to love everybody. Now, that's why we need prayer. If I was to ask for a show of hands this morning, if everybody loved Trump in this household of faith, trusting the Bible, knowing that the Bible is true to his word, I ain't even gonna put that on you. But I believe the point is made that we got to understand that God is going to take care of the trouble. He's going to take care of that worker of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. Then David says, trust in the Lord. Do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, David said that when you get hungry, I don't care if they cut out the food stamps. God still got cattle upon a thousand hills. You got to know that things are going to get all right, and we are going to be delivered in God's own time. Come to tell you this morning that we need some people that have had a direct encounter with God. You see, we got to stop thinking that church is all about preaching, singing, and praying, and shouting, and giving God praise. All of those things are fine. But what are you doing to help kingdom building? What are you doing to come out of your comfort zone to let somebody know that I refuse to be silent of the injustice that is going on around me? Where are you at when they're having the school board meeting and you know your children have been mistreated or being overlooked and you want to stay home and talk about what they're doing, but you don't go up there and stand up in numbers and let nobody know that I don't like what you're doing in the system? We can't get nowhere because we won't help ourselves. All we want to do, come in and throw our little testimony out there, get our little dance on, and we done had church. The Bible declares that we come in to worship God, but then we leave to serve. Who you serving? If you are not doing anything to make things better, I just stop by to let you know that you need to have an encounter with God. Somebody got to have a change of their mindset. Somebody got to stand and carry the torch. Somebody got to be willing to make the sacrifice to come out of your comfort zone and to make a difference in helping our people to be treated right and to continue to move forward. Oh, yeah, Dr. King had a dream. That dream did come true to a degree. But is there anybody else willing to say like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Don't talk about who's already on the committee. Committee can't do it all by themselves. Committee got to have some backup. Committee got to have some folk that are standing and say, we refuse to accept what you are throwing in our face. It's time for our people to stop having so much lip service and start a new revolution to help change the way that things are done. We must be willing to have a personal relationship with God, that we may be used by him. And because of our relationship, what happens must come and know that, to know him and to trust him into being the God that we serve. We got to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I'm able to keep my faith. I'm going to hold up the bloodstained banner, and I'm not going to let nobody tell me that I cannot be who I desire to be down on the inside. He is the same God. He walks with us today. And all we have to do is seek the Lord while he may be found. Encountering God is necessary for the spirit man. It's just like connecting and bonding, and some reason you have this click. You know how it is that there's some folk that you meet and you feel so comfortable with them. You can just talk like you've been knowing them all the time. And when I made that encounter with my brand new friend, now I can talk to my friend, and I feel like my friend understands where I'm coming from. That I'm looking, and God is looking for somebody that is willing to say, Lord, I want to make a connection with you. I want to have more than just a shout or a word of praise on my lip, but I want it to be in the depths of my heart. I want to have that relationship with you, God, so that I know that whenever I'm going through, that you're going to hide me in your mighty pavilion. I want to have a relationship with my God that when I say I'm walking down through the valley of the shadow of death, death can't do no harm unto me unless God is ready for me. We need somebody that is willing to have a connection and an encounter with God. Remember that old man named Saul? Persecuting the people of God. But until he had an encounter with God that knocked him up off his high horse, made him realize that you are sinning against me. That's where the change comes in. That's what brings us to our text this morning. I just want to let you know, that I serve a mighty God. Paul became one of the greatest servants of all time. But I believe that God still got some use of those of us that are in the house this morning. See, I believe that when you realize who God is, I'm reminded of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah sat there, and on this day, Isaiah had a vision. You see, God either, when he sort of began to relate with people, he would even get the news by to them by dream or by vision. Some of us, we don't have productive dreams. More or less, we have nightmares. I'm gonna mess with that. But now, when there's a vision involved, that individual is wide awake. I can be standing right here talking to you right now, and God can still show me a vision. And my whole disposition may begin to change because of what I see that God is showing me, but he's not showing there. See, my vision is for me and your vision is for you. But you got to open up your blinded eyes and see what the Lord God is saying unto you. Bible say in the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And he was sitting high on the throne. He was lifted up, and the train of his temple filled the whole room. The glory of God was all over the room. Visualize in your mind what Isaiah saw on that day. The Bible says above it stood the seraphim, meaning that there were angelic beings all around our God that had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, because God is such a mighty God that I'm not able to look upon the face of God. Then the Bible said, covered his feet. And then they began to fly. One of them cried unto another. See, whenever you get in the presence of God, there's holiness there. The Holy of Holy is there. And I hear the angels, I hear the choir begin to sing out, holy, holy, holy. Come out of yourself sometime. Stop worrying about that baked chicken you left in the soul. Stop worrying about who coming over for dinner. Where you want to go. Come out of yourself and allow the power of God to embrace you, to inspire you, to lift you up, to let you know that you are somebody. Hallelujah. Looking and I hear them saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. As they began to cry out, holy, it magnified to the degree that the Bible declares that the doors moved because of the voice that it heard. Then, in Isaiah's vision, he saw that the room filled with smoke. I remember there was a time when we used to go to anniversaries, and the Spirit of God would get so high that the very room seemed like it was cloudy. So you got to be in some of those situations and actually see those things to know them to be so. The glory of God began to move, and every heart began to feel the presence of God. You didn't have to dance or jump up and down, but something down on the inside. Look at Isaiah's vision. The house is filled with smoke. The doorposts of rambling light, they're getting ready to fall down. Isaiah looked and Isaiah realized, there, I'm not what all I need to be. I'm standing before a just God. I'm standing before a God that has all power. So the Bible declares that Isaiah began to confess. Isaiah opened up. Isaiah began to realize that I'm not even worthy to sing along with them, holy, holy. Because when I look at myself, I'm a man of unclean lips. I am undone. I am not worthy to be called a child of the king. I dwell in the midst of a people that got unclean lips. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then, just like he would, God sent deliverance. For those heavenly beings, they went to the altar, took a coal out. You know what, Isaiah? I'm going to fix your nasty mouth today. He put the coal on Isaiah's mouth. And those coals burn out all of the infirmities, cleansed him, made him holy, made him be a child of the king. The Bible said, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I'm almost there, and I'm almost finished. When you make that encounter with God and you confess your faults before God, and God steps in and he brings his delivering and his washing hands upon your body, then you are ready to be a servant. So now God gives him an opportunity to serve. Bible says, I heard the voice of the Lord. Say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? We have anybody in here that are willing to stand with Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I wasn't ready to go. I wasn't capable of going. I didn't have my life right. The wrong things were coming up out of my mouth. But oh God, now that I see the goodness of the Lord, now that you cleaned up my lips, now that you made everything right down on the inside, I want to let you know, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I just stopped by Fowl's Chapel to tell somebody in the house this morning that what we need is more direct encounters with God.
Somebody say, Lord, here am I. Lord, I want you to change my way of thinking. Lord, I want you to wake me up early in the morning. And I want you to let me know that I am a child of the King. Lord, I want to be like Saul this morning. I want to realize that when I was down at my dad's dying, when I didn't have the mind to do the right thing, and I persecuted everybody that lifted up the name of Jesus, I'm going to take my hands off of folk. I'm going to take my mouth off of folk. I'm going to take my judgmental eyes off of folk. I don't know like you know what the Lord God has done for you. But is there anybody in the house that know that God is down on your side, that you're hiding the word of God in your heart? You're looking to God and you say, oh, Lord, I want to serve you while I have a chance. I want you to change my wicked way. I want you to turn me around. I want you to pick me up out of the dirt. I want you to let me know that everything is going to be all right. I want to stop persecuting and I want to start reaching out to somebody. I want to be a drawing force. I want to tell somebody that God is alive. I want to stop sitting around like I'm all of that. And my time is my time. But all time belongs to the Lord. And when I serve God with everything that I got, God is going to make a way out of no way. That's why I'm so glad this morning that I serve a mighty God. I'm so glad this morning that I can serve God with a clear heart. Know that I don't dot every I, cross every T. But I serve a mighty God. I serve a God that deserves all of our holiness. We got to humble ourselves down at our Savior's feet and say, oh Lord, come and see about me. I'm so glad this morning that I had a direct encounter with God for myself. And what we need today is more direct encounters with God. After you have that encounter, then you can start working on your relationship. But you cannot do it staying in your comfort zone. You cannot do it sitting there with a judgmental eye. You see, if you don't want to praise him, somebody does. Maybe it's time for the pew warmers to get out the way and let go and let God have his way. I said in the outset, I didn't know what you come to get. But if you come to get something, get it. Now, it may not take as long for you as it do for your neighbor. So just because you can get yours quick, be patient with that one. That it take a minute for everything to sort of deal and to dwell down into them. And you know, sometimes you got to just let it simmer. Get all the juices in it. Then all of a sudden you start to feel it. And once you start to feel it and you know that you've been changed, you can allow God to be your spokesman. The Lord said in the vision to Isaiah, who shall ascend? Whom will go for us? Can God depend on any of you to say, Lord, send me. I'll go. I may not be able to say it like they said it, but I'll open up my mouth. And whatever you tell me to say, I'll say. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord this morning. The old songwriter said, because he first loved me, and he loved me so much, that as we continue our celebration of Black history, never forget those that died, those that were persecuted, and those that don't have the rights that you enjoy today. If you're able to say, I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free. Freedom came at a cost. Not by any of your goodness, but but only by the grace and the mercy of a loving God. Hallelujah to the name Jesus.